Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
And our gospel is from Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 7. "As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ."
Today is actually the Feast of St. Barnabas, which is why we have these particular readings. But these particular readings serve the purpose because I wanted to talk about living in the Spirit, and I wanted to start with the early church because that's where we take a lot of our form and our understanding of how this works. Because let's face it, we don't have actual, this is how you do things, 1, 2, 3, 4, in the Spirit, in the Gospels or in Acts, really. Every church worked slightly differently, but there were some things that were particular. One of those things is about running with what God is doing, and people were often renamed because their gifts and their abilities were such that they were named in accordance with those gifts. So Barnabas wasn't always called Barnabas. Barnabas's name is actually Joseph, and he was a Levite. Now, the Levites were part of the people of Israel. They were Jewish people, but what they had was a particular call to work in the temples and to enable the work of the priests. So priests and Levites worked together. So Barnabas was actually Joseph the Levite, and he wasn't from Jerusalem or anywhere. He was actually from Cyprus. And so there is an area nearby this place called Antioch that our first reading is about, called Cyprus, and he's from that area. And of course, these days, Antioch is in modern Lebanon. So Cyprus, Lebanon, they're next door to one another. So we name someone according to their gifts. Now, Barnabas's name means son of Bar, neighbors, encouragement. Barnabas. And because people's names were changed according to their gifts, what do you think was one of his spiritual gifts? Encouragement. That is one of the gifts of the Spirit, and it is mentioned, you find, in our scriptures. The other thing about that is that the word nabos, the word that encouragement comes from, and the word that we tend to use, means an encourager through word. Encourager through word. Barnabas used his words. He was an encourager in the way that he taught and in the way that he used his words. So we can also use our words to encourage, can't we? And Barnabas used the word of God to encourage. He used words of scripture to encourage. And people who use words of scripture to encourage are often people who preach or teach, or perhaps they are simply someone who is able to come alongside somebody else and say, the word of God says this, God loves you, let me encourage you. So anybody can do that bit, can't they? Do you think you can do that bit? We can all do that bit? Yep. Okay. When the Holy Spirit enables a gift, though, that gives us more than just that natural, perhaps, ability to encourage, but the power of God to help us to do that well. So, as we are getting into this, I have a little thought about what we could do for one another, and certainly for the kids. Is there someone you think you could encourage today? Is there anyone you know that you'd like to encourage? Someone that you'd like to say a good word to? Perhaps tell them what a nice person they are? Or maybe say to them, you're really good at this thing. I think that's great. You know, have you ever seen the rocks that people decorate and leave around? Have you seen those? There are some around this part of the world. So I have two things. I have cards to make cards for encouraging, or maybe there's somebody's birthday coming up or something and you put a nice word in there saying, I'm encouraging them in something. So, you know, sometimes somebody, they might be doing quite well, but sometimes they're feeling quite insecure about something. And if you say, now, I don't know if you've ever had this. Have you ever sort of been woken up? Well, this is me this morning, waking up in the morning, going, I feel awful this morning. I got here at 8:44 for the 8:45 service, right? The brain wasn't working. The body did not wish to function. And I walked in and somebody looked at me and they said, you're not looking too good this morning. And that was really not really very encouraging, I must say, when people look at you and say, oh, you don't look very well, you think, oh, yep, I don't feel well. And then somebody else said to me, it's so lovely to see you this morning. I'm so glad that you made it because we were worried you were running a little late. What, is she okay? That's more encouraging, isn't it? So sometimes all we people need is a, you know what, I think your hair looks fantastic. Or, wow, you look nice in that colour. Or, you know what? I've seen how you've been speaking to people and what an encouragement you are to me. Right? So we can say all sorts of things and they don't have to be big things. But sometimes we can get a permanent mark and we can write on a stone. Stones are great because you can hold them in your hand and you can put them in your pocket and it can keep reminding you. I've written on this one. This one says, you are loved, and it has a cross and a little heart on it. So I have some stones and some permanent markers. And you might like to do some little words of nice things you could say to people, things from that God might say to us. What sorts of things do you think God might say to us? What sorts of encouragements does God give? You might come across some as we're doing the sermon. Or I've got some card, and you can make a card for somebody that you love that you'd like to give an encouragement to. So here's some bits and pieces. I'll bring them down. Yes, please. And the permanent markers are in the tin. And then we have some texters and some card. And let's see if you can think of ways to encourage one another. Maybe you want to say thank you to Mum or Dad for doing something and you can write them a card. Or maybe a card for your grandparents or an aunt or an uncle. For somebody that we care about, it helps us to show love, which of course is one of the great things about God. He shows love to us by sending his son to die for us. So in that tin are my permanent markers. They're all Sharpies. So they should stay on the rock. I did try it to make sure they didn't wipe back off the rock that I did. It's all good. All right. So in our readings today, we don't just have Barnabas, do we? We have the disciples. And the disciples are gathered with Jesus. This is the 12 in Matthew 10. And the 12 are gathered with Jesus. And Jesus says to them, Go out two by two, go out there and tell them that the kingdom of God is near, and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. You receive without payment, so you have to give without payment. Don't ask for any money for what you're doing. And, by the way, don't take any money with you. Don't take an extra pair of shoes. Don't take a cloak. Don't take anything extra. Go and knock on the door of somebody and hope they take you in. Would you like to do that? Anybody feel like they can go out and just raise the dead today? You up for it? It's a little bit scary, isn't it? Just a tiny bit. What do they have? What do they have to do that on? Well, just before what we read today, Jesus summons them, and he says to them, he gives them authority. Now, the word is exousia in Greek, and the word exousia is a wonderful word because it's not just, I give you permission. Because when somebody says, I'm giving you my authority to do something, it's not just permission to do something. It's the power to do something. It's the enablement to do something. This is a precursor to having the Spirit. These men went out two by two to take the word to everybody, to raise the dead, to cure people, to do all those things in the authority of the name of Jesus. And in that authority, they're working in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it happened, didn't it? They went out. They were provided for. God provided for them everywhere they went. They were looked after. And here we see a few of the gifts of the Spirit in operation. They were told to go and proclaim the kingdom, that's evangelism. They were told to heal the sick, that's the gift of healing. They were told to raise the dead, that's the gift of miracles. They were told to cleanse the lepers and drive out demons, that's also a gift of healings. They were told to receive freely and to give freely. They had received freely, they were to give freely. That is about generosity. Not just about money, but about the gifts of God. What God has given them, they are to give away, not just keep it to themselves. And they were told not to take anything for their journey. That is about faith, which is also a spiritual gift, the special gift to be able to believe even when you haven't got anything to really help you to believe in what's going to happen. God says, do this, and you just go. And the other one that he tells them is, when you come to a house, go into that house, you knock on the door and they let you in. And when you come into the house, bless the house. And if that house is worthy, then let your peace rest there. That is about discernment. This is another spiritual gift, to be able to discern whether that place is a place of God. Are these people people of peace? And is this a place to leave the peace of God in? That's also a spiritual gift. So we see our apostles working in spiritual gifts before they know their spiritual gifts. Then there's Pentecost. And at Pentecost, the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they then move in the gifts they have already been given through the authority of Jesus Christ. And so they are able to stand up and do what Jesus has already trained them to do in his authority. They are able to go out and bring people to faith in Jesus. And in the Holy Spirit, that gifting of the Spirit then brings up in each one who hears, each one who is there, the gifting which is part of their lives. And Barnabas, who was no doubt probably one of the 120 in that upper room, he then also goes out and he's known by his spiritual gifts rather than by his birth name. Such were they, obviously powerful in that way and known. There's quite a lot of writing in the Holy Fathers about Barnabas, but not as much in the New Testament. But Barnabas is magnificent because he raises other people up. And one of the things about someone who has the gift of encouragement is they raise other people up, don't they? You encourage someone and you see them doing something. You say, you're good at that. You should do that a bit more. You know, that's how we encourage one another, isn't it? So Barnabas is one who encourages. And one of the people that Barnabas was encouraging, and we see this in early on in Acts 9, there's this bloke named Saul that nobody knows about except by the wrong things. Saul, who was the Pharisee, he was running out trying to kill Christians, all over persecuting the Christians. And Saul, of course, comes to faith in Jesus. And having come to faith in Jesus, Saul is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Saul then starts to preach and teach because he's a Pharisee. He's got the scriptures. But he needs to know more. He needs to understand. And he spends quite a lot of time working out whether he's got it right before he does everything. He starts to speak it straight away. He starts to live in it straight away. But just like you and I, Saul needed discipling. He needed to learn how to live as a Christian. And so living as a Christian, learning how to live as a Christian, he works it out and then he goes to Jerusalem. He wants to talk to the apostles because he wants to make sure that he got the gospel right. Because he was not a disciple of Jesus. He did not walk with Jesus. And therefore, he wants that side of it. But when he goes to Jerusalem, they won't let him in. The apostles don't want to see him because this is Saul. He's been trying to kill us. You know, he's been trying. No. Who do you think took Saul by the hand and led him in to talk to the apostles? A man named Barnabas, the encourager. He saw Paul and realized Saul, who, of course, became Paul, and realized that this man was now walking in the Spirit, and he lifted him up and brought him in to see Peter. This is Barnabas's gift in so many ways, and this is how it works, to be able to lift someone up and bring them in to learn more, to become a person who understands. And Peter was then able to sit down with him and James and John and the others and talk with Saul the Pharisee and help him to understand the rest of the story. After all, remember, there's no New Testament at this stage. The New Testament is in the apostles themselves who were the ones who walked with Jesus. And so this is where Saul goes to. He goes to the source, which are the people who knew Jesus, because he didn't. And so Barnabas is part of that. So then when we come to this part in Antioch, Stephen has been martyred for his faith. And when he was martyred, Saul, the young man Saul, who was there for the martyring of Stephen, then started attacking the Christians and dragging them into jail. And so a lot of Christians left. They went out. They headed off into their own countries and they took the gospel with them. And so they went to Antioch, and these people who were Cypriots and others who had been in Jerusalem become Christians, they went home to that area, and they went to Antioch and they started to preach the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And the Antioch church started to grow phenomenally under the gospel. And then what happens is Jerusalem hears of this and they say, right, okay, these people need us, they need a Barnabas. They need someone who can lead in the gifts and teach, who knows Jesus from being part of this early group, but also someone who has those gifts to help them, encourage them, and lift up the ones who have the right gifts. So they send Barnabas. Barnabas gets there, and Barnabas is with the people and talking to them, and Barnabas says, hang on a minute, I need a helper. And he goes to Tarsus to get Saul, and brings Saul as his apprentice. So Barnabas is the boss. Saul is the apprentice. At this point in time, Saul, who becomes Paul the great apostle, is not the one in charge. He's actually second. And indeed, Barnabas is not in charge either. It's actually the Antioch church. What Barnabas does is come alongside the leaders of the Antioch church. He doesn't take over. He works with them, encouraging them, lifting them up, teaching them, helping them to grow. This is a real picture of how the work of the Spirit works when it's working rightly and we're working together, lifting one another up, helping one another to find our gifting and walk in it, encouraging and helping one another. It's a wonderful picture of life in the Spirit in the early church. And this church is a church of prayer, and we see it. They are praying together, they are working together. For a year, Barnabas and Saul help them in this, and then along comes Agabus, who is a prophet. Notice we have the gift of prophecy here, authorized. He was sent from Jerusalem. So the Jerusalem church knows that this man has the gift, and that gift is real, and he's sent with other prophets to out into the world, and they come to Antioch to let them know that Agabus has seen that there will be a big famine right across the Roman Empire, and that they need to know this is happening. God has warned them in advance via this prophet, and they need to do the right thing. So the people at Antioch get together. They pray on it, they decide that they will not only make sure that they look after themselves, but they decide, because the famine will start in Jerusalem and in Judea, they decide they will make sure that they equip the people of Judea and send food to them. And that's what they do. And they send Barnabas and Saul to Judea with that food. Again, we see a church working together, lifting one another up, praying into it, and working in their gifts and saying, we have a whole lot and they will not have enough. We will send to them what we have. Gift of giving. Then we come to 13, and in chapter 13, in chapter 12, we've gone back to Peter for a moment. In chapter 13, we have the Antioch church, and you see who is there, and we see these gifts at work yet again. And here, just as an aside, Agabus was Agabus was actually very accurate. That famine happened between AD 45 and 47. It was right across the Roman Empire. It was in the reign of Claudius. And we have documented proof of the severity of this and how much it made the Roman Empire suffer. So he saw it coming and God warned his people. It's a good thing. So at Antioch then we have these people gathered, and it says, now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, and it names them Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. Notice he comes last on the list. He still isn't seen as anyone special. But together they are gathered, and they have been in fasting and prayer, worshipping the Lord. And they have been seeking the Lord, obviously, in fasting and prayer and worship. Maybe they did this every Sunday. Maybe they did this regularly as people. We don't know what the occasion is. It doesn't say what they were seeking for. It says they were worshipping and fasting together as a church. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then they go into more fasting and prayer specifically about this. And they lay their hands on Barnabas and Saul and send them out. Barnabas, of course, is already in leadership. Saul is an upcoming leader. This is an empowerment of the two of them sending out from that church to go and spread the gospel. And, of course, we know what happens next as Paul's first missionary journey. But it was really Barnabas's journey that Saul was hanging along with. And then it became more about Paul than it did about Barnabas, because he increased in his gifting and what God had called him into. And Barnabas eventually went off and did what Barnabas was doing. And we see him only one more time in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, where Barnabas speaks up to give his opinion of what should happen to help Gentiles to understand how to live as Christians. After that, we don't hear from him again. The early church tells us that Barnabas was burned at the stake eventually. So Barnabas is a martyr, and this is the price they paid for the gospel, but it was worth it for them. It needs to be worth it that much for us too. Living in the Spirit is not just for Antioch 2,000 years ago, is it? Living in the Spirit is for us now. Working in the gifts of the Spirit, understanding our gifts and living in that place where Holy Spirit can inform our lives, help us to raise one another up, help us to work together to be the church in Dramana, proclaiming the name of Jesus. That is what God wants, that we would be just like Antioch, a place where the name of Jesus was so proclaimed and people were raised up in Christ that it becomes a place that's known as a place where the Christians live. I'm sure that's God's will for every little town, every village, every place, every church. This is our call. This is who we are. And how to do it is about learning about those gifts, understanding how they work, and seeing them in one another and encouraging one another. Basically, without an encouragement, we don't move in the things that are our gift, because often we don't even know that that's our gift. It doesn't get named. And sometimes we need it named, just as Barnabas needed to be named, because he had this gift. And they named him so that people would know. Anybody who knew the language of the time would go, oh, his name's Barnabas. He's been sent as Barnabas. There's a reason why he's got this name. And he probably told them, my name was actually Joseph, but they've changed it because of this. Otherwise, we wouldn't know, would we? It needs to be written down somewhere otherwise. So, for you and I, my hope, my prayer, as we look at life in the Spirit, is that we will also discover together who we are in Christ, our authority, what is a gift of the Spirit and what isn't, how we can learn about those gifts together, and how we can learn to operate as a church well with the Spirit. I'm praying that we would be as Antioch. I'm not praying we'd be as Corinth. I'm praying that we would be as Antioch. Corinth was a little chaotic. I'm not looking for chaos. What I want to see us is a church where we're raised up and everyone. And the thing that we must remember, and really it's very important, it does not matter what age you are. When was Moses raised up? When did he start his things? Exactly. Moses was 40 when he realized he wanted to help the Israelites, but he did the wrong thing, murdered somebody and ran away for 40 years. He was 80 when he saw the burning bush. And he was 120 when he finally brought the Israelites to Jordan. You can't tell me you're too old, sorry. By the same token, how old was David when he was anointed to be king? 12 or 13? 12 or 13? So, you don't have to be too young either. Let me tell you something. In the church that I worked in Dingley, we had the kids come. They decided they wanted to come into ours and we were going to do an all-age thing. And when you had all the kids in and all the adults in, it was a bit chaotic. But anyway, the kids came in and they came in and they said, we've been praying together and we actually believe the Holy Spirit wants us to pray for you. And the children, and children as young as 4 and 5, came into that church and prayed over the adults. And I will tell you that when the 4-year-olds prayed for healing, healing happened. There is no age limit. You don't have to wait till you're an adult to run with the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and you do not have to sit there and say, well, obviously my time is over, or maybe my time has not yet come. The fact is God can use us at any age and in any ability. Last story, when I was up in New South Wales a long time ago, I went up to my brother's church. He's an AOG pastor. And he's left the AOG now. Now he's a planet shaker. But he was an AOG pastor and he was associate pastor in this church. And I went up to visit him at Madawi. And there was a lady who came in the back of the church in her wheelchair, electric wheelchair. She could speak and she could use one hand. That was all she had left to function because she had like a motor neuron type thing going on. And she, in her wheelchair, she came in the back and zoomed up into her spot. And she participated in the worship and everything else. And then the pastor called her forward and he said, I'd like you to tell people what you told me the other day. So she sort of went, oh, okay, if I have to. So she came forward, as you do, you know, you say, come and give your testimony. And they go, no. She came forward. I'm so glad I was there. She came forward and he said, tell me. Now, she had been losing her ability for quite a while, but years and years before that, when she was younger, she'd been on mission. And so she had a heart for people who were on mission and who spread the gospel. Now she could not do anything. Somebody had to do everything for her. She couldn't feed herself properly. She couldn't cook. She couldn't clean. She couldn't dress herself. She couldn't even go to the toilet without somebody helping. But with one hand that worked, she wrote 100 letters a week to encourage people in ministry. A 100 letters a week, every week, until the day the Lord took her to glory. She never lost the use of the hand. It does not matter what your abilities are. God can use you if you will let His Holy Spirit lead you into the ministry that you have. And you don't need a stupid plastic collar to do that. You just need to be you, authentically a child of the living God, being who God has called you to be. This is life in the Spirit. This is my prayer for us. And this is what we're going to explore for the next few weeks. Amen.